Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. This week, we are actually in the mobile studio. We are still on the road. And in this case, this week's show, we're taking a little bit of a strange... kind of connection, because while I'm on the road here in Florida, the guest is actually connecting to me in Florida from New Zealand. So I don't know how we get any further away than that. So William Cholmondeley, Bill Cholmondeley, is from New Zealand, has been doing some pretty interesting work in a variety of different areas. But before we get started, I wanted to give you an opportunity for you to kind of tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for having me on. Look, I started a company called Imager, which specializes in artificial intelligence in the area of computer vision. We've been going for about 3 years. Well, me personally, anyway, for about 3 years.
How did you get into this, right? What was the precursor before 3 years ago?
Well, look, I'm quite an impatient shopper. I used to work in finance, and I every single lunch break I'd spend the majority of my lunch break in line trying to check out, and so started thinking, How do I remove the checkout? Purely for selfish reasons. And so during, I guess, my tenure at the fund that I was working at, I started looking at a technology called RFID. And, you know, the time that I was looking at it, you know, there were some pretty exciting advancements, you know, and I started to think, well, look, if we put a tag on every single one of these supermarket products, we could remove the checkout. And so I started this business, and we had a couple of engineers, myself and one other girl working with me, and we got it to a stage where one of us had to go full-time. Well, in fact, all of us had to go full-time. And so we all decided we'd quit our jobs, and I walked in and resigned, and no one else did. So I was left on my own. And look, I mean, after a while, I realized that the business just wasn't going to take off, you know, for a number of reasons. The technology wasn't quite there, you know, the cost of implementation wasn't there. And so, you know, the business failed pretty quickly after I started. So for me, I didn't have a job. However, I did have this vision of, you know, creating a checkoutless supermarket ecosystem that, you know, just wasn't there at the moment. So I started looking at, you know, different technologies and came across computer vision in mid-2015 and started talking to everyone around the world, you know, about whether or not I would be able to create, you know, my business case using this type of technology. And towards the end of 2015, I got in touch with one of the head researchers at Google in San Francisco and asked him what he thought. You know, if I put a couple of cameras on a trolley, would I be able to recognize items, you know, in real time based purely on, you know, visual aspects? And he came back and he said yes. And so I asked him if he wanted to work with me, which he said no. But he did, he did recommend that I worked with one of his contacts. And so from 2015 to 2016, I started Imager. And I had three jobs to fund it. So I was setting up a cafe from, you know, 4:30 in the morning. And then I was a furniture removalist during the day. And then I was doing financial models for people, you know, on the weekends or at night to earn a bit of cash and fund the business.
So it's the proverbial entrepreneur, you're treading water as hard as you can to keep everything afloat.
Exactly. Exactly. I got to a stage where we needed to progress a lot quicker. And so I, you know, I mean, this whole entire time I was trying to raise capital as well through, you know, private equity, through venture capital, through friends and family. I managed to get a loan midway through 2016 that, you know, really kind of helped us get to the next stage. But, you know, for me, by the time we had raised capital in 2016, you know, I would have pitched north of 150 people, I think, rejected every time. And towards the end of 2016, I was very fortunate to bring on some investors. And at that stage, I moved myself back to Auckland because I was living in Sydney, Australia. I moved myself back to Auckland and you know, got the business underway.
Were the investors in Auckland or where were the investors based?
So the investors are in Auckland.
Okay.
And we have one Chinese national as well.
Mm-hmm.
But,
okay.
But, you know, I was coming towards the end of, I guess, my tether when it came to pitching. But, you know, New Zealand was a logical step for me to move back to. You know, we've got an amazing ecosystem here that really does support small business. You know, the government pitches in as well to help fund as well alongside, you know, any research and development. For example, Callaghan will give you 40% back on anything that you spend, right? Up to, I think, about $1.5 million.
Yeah, for those of you who are listening, you know, you can go back. I talk about my trip to Auckland where I was invited by Callaghan, which is the name of the innovation office for the New Zealand government, named after Sir Callaghan, very famous physicist. But the support that the government gives in New Zealand is somewhat unique. But what I actually found even more interesting in my visit to New Zealand was how much all the companies actually support each other. The community there is incredibly strong.
Yeah, we've got an amazing ecosystem here. You know, everyone wants to see each other do quite well, which is really great. I don't, you know, New Zealand's too small to have that predatory kind of nature. And, you know, we are quite a small nation and, you know, 4 million people. You know, everyone's got to help each other as much as we can. And, you know, some amazing businesses have come out of New Zealand. You know, you would have seen recently Rocket Labs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They've just done their launch, Xero, you know, the accounting software. Soul Machines, who's, you know, got quite possibly the most realistic-looking avatar in the world. You know, so for a small population, I'd say, you know, we pack a pretty impressive punch.
Well, you definitely punch way above your weight relative when you think about 4 million. But at least the way that I got it was described to me when I was visiting with Callaghan was, look, we're a small nation, not close to anybody, so you have to be pretty self-reliant. And therefore, we've been innovators forever. It's just part of our DNA because it's not like you could, you know, 100 years ago just go buy something. You had to go invent it because there was no place else to go get it at.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are very resourceful, I would say. I'd say, you know, the ecosystem that's being created here is, with Callaghan is certainly one that, you know, helps foster this type of, you know, I guess this type of tech advancement that we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, it is somewhat unique, you know, from that perspective. But at the same time, just having entrepreneurs is not enough, right? Look, you said you got to go talk to, 100, 150 people to try raising capital. It's these pockets of access to risk capital, which in some cases can be the most restrictive.
Yeah. Look, I mean, if you have a look at any of the guys that have, or, you know, any people that have made it in New Zealand, they've all gone out on their own, right? Which is why they're so willing to support other people that are also, you know, trying to do the same thing. So it does, you know, it all kind of flows in roundabouts, which is great.
Yes, exactly. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, but one of the things that I'm going to bring up in the next segment is everybody's out there claiming AI and everything. So we're going to dig in a little bit here about, you know, really the AI, what's going on in the AI space, but particularly around vision and given what Imgur is going under. But I just came from CES, where I think everybody slapped AI onto every product or technology talked about in Las Vegas, had to have AI in it. So I'm going to push a little bit on that. It's one of those hot button issues for me. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break and continue our conversation here in the studio. So be right back.
Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Rwanda is a shining example of how the global community can come together and rebuild a country after a devastating genocide. But there is still more that needs to be done. In the rural villages, students are crowded into schools with no electricity, no running water, no internet access, and limited sanitation. Will these kids be ready to continue the rebuilding of Rwanda, or will they be dependent upon others? Through education and employment, boys and girls have an equally promising future that can transform their struggling communities. For $20 a month, a child can be educated and a community strengthened. By supporting Pioneer Education Africa, a 501c3 charity, you partner with others to provide education that will prepare a generation to take on the task of self-reliance. 100% of the proceeds received go directly to the education of the children. Visit pioneereducationafrica.com to find out more.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We're here with William, and we're talking specifically about your company, Imgur. And in the last segment, I was kind of yanking your chain a little bit on, you know, I just came from Las Vegas. Everybody's claiming AI. I mean, it's like, we're back to the version of .com where everybody had a .com, right? So talk a little bit about your view of the AI, but more importantly, what's different about what you're doing versus what other players are doing in the same space?
Look, to start with, I think you're right. You know, a lot of companies start claiming AI very early. Now, what we need to remember is that AI has been around for quite a long time.
Exactly.
You know, I think in terms of companies that are doing real AI, what we're seeing is, you know, this unsupervised form of machine learning and supervised, right? I think some people start to blur the lines through using things like, you know, predictive analytics, for example. You know, any kind of smart lookup in Excel, for example, can give you some form of AI. You know, I think that the companies that are really in this AI space are the ones that are doing a lot of the logic around, you know, as I said, this unsupervised, right? And so, for example, you know, I take the conversational aspect of Soul Machines, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with Soul Machines, but, you know, the ability for this digital avatar to actually communicate in close to real time and actually start to learn and behave like a real human being. You know, for me, this is true artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, things like chatbots that look at keywords, for example, yes, you know, they are a form of AI, but again, this is just a predictive kind of lookup and pattern matching, essentially.
Right.
So, you know, for us, what differentiates us is we do what's called computer vision. Now, there are a number of different aspects of computer vision. First of all, you know, you've got, you know, the image processing aspect, which is what we do. But what differentiates us is we're able to do it in real time, and we're able to do it in real time over Wi-Fi, right? Over a Wi-Fi network. So, you know, we've built everything in-house, and, you know, we have developed all of our own software. You know, we don't make use of libraries such as TensorFlow, for example. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, what what has really kind of set us apart from everyone else is our level of accuracy. So, you know, we're able to capture items in flight, you know, with a very high level of confidence, which is absolutely amazing.
So let's go back. The problem you're trying to solve is the ability to recognize an item as the shopper's going through the process of shopping.
Correct.
Without the need for them to do any kind of special scanning or holding it a certain way. You're just recognizing it as they're going through the normal shopping experience.
So when we started Imager, we didn't want to change anyone's shopping behavior.
Right.
One of the, I guess, key barriers for uptake for a lot of, you know, the past barcode scanning, you know, rigs that have been attached to trolleys was that it involved, first of all, the customer to be honest that they were scanning everything, but also it required a change in behavior. For us, because we're monitoring everything in real time as it enters or exits the trolley, and we don't require barcode scanning, there is no actual change to your shopping behavior whatsoever. So if you imagine a product as it goes in, what our system's doing is we're looking for shape, color, size, font, pictures, and we extract all of this information. We then have a look at, you know, what the product database is for this retailer. We get the barcode and then we feed through the price through to the customer's phone and, you know, obviously deduct it from the store's inventory. So, you know, we need to be able to do this in real time. Otherwise, you know, by the time someone's finished their shop, you've got all of this kind of backed up data and people start walking out of the store without paying for things.
Yes, and so, now I apologize for the listeners. I've still got this bad cough ever since Las Vegas. But in the case of being able to do that in where the shopper's not even aware that it's happening, right?
Yeah.
It's not like they're aware that the cameras are there, right? You
no.
know? So, how do you register the original image? So every time, you know, a retailer changes the color on a package or every time the retailer takes on a new item that they're going to stock on the shelf, how does it get into your system? How do you learn? What's the learning mechanism?
Yeah, okay, so we have what's called an onboarding process. Now, we can do between 10 to 40,000 and anywhere in the range of 30 to 60 days. Now, for us at the moment, we have just signed a trial with, you know, one of New Zealand's largest retailers. For us, we're taking a bottom-up approach, which means that we're at store level. We're taking pictures, you know, of every product that are at the store. You know, going forward, what we are doing is working with something called GS1, which is a barcode, you know, issuer. Now, they're already taking pictures of every product. So before an item's even on a shelf, you know, they're already starting to take pictures of it. Now, if we add a few more angles, you know, our system can start to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So our entire system, we have pictures of every single angle of a product, which means that we can, you know, essentially recognize a product regardless of orientation or speed as it enters the basket. So, you know, there is a quite a large process to start with. However, where we scale quite well is once you've done one supermarket, you can do them all.
Right.
Because product offering is quite homogenous, you know, across retailers. You know, there's only, for example, one, you know, Waddy's Baked Beans, and both retailers will sell it. And, you know, again, the same for you guys in the US.
Right, exactly. It is this a little bit of this, you know, hockey stick effect, right? If you got to get that, you got to do that the initial learning. And learning has always been the thing in AI that's been identified of, you know, that upfront data capture that allows you then to do what it is you have to do on an ongoing basis. We're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to get more into what your experience was with your first set of customers, you know, your trials and getting some. And you've got some that you just shared about with one of the largest retailers there in New Zealand. Because I think that's it's an interesting shift, right? When we see things like Amazon and others going to these, you know, checklists retailers and being able to check it out. So when we come back, we're going to continue on our conversation with William and on his company Imager and the use of AI in retail checkout. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching BizTV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, BizTV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We're here having a conversation with William and his company, Imager. We were talking in the last segment about, you know, the learning data and how do you get the knowledge base built up, given that you're identifying products on the shelf in stores so that consumers can check out. Give us a little bit of a broader context for the company. You know, you're already out in being commercially used, or are you still in trials? What's the status?
So look, I mean, we've still got a lot of work to do. And for us, we have just brought on a customer for a trial that will be up and running this year. In terms of where we're at with our actual development and our hardware, you know, our hardware is, you know, close to complete for generation one anyway. And, you know, for our database at the moment, I believe we're sitting at around 2,000 products. So, you know, we've done roughly a third of the store. I guess the broader context of the business, you know, we first started out wanting to do a retrofit to a trolley, or sorry, a cart, as you guys call it. You know, for a number of reasons, what we ended up doing was starting with the basket. First of all, you know, a customer's more likely to put, you know, less items, for example, you know, which helps us in our recognition. But it also means that we can get into market a lot quicker.
So in this case, with your product, when you say hardware, describe what makes up the hardware. Is it the cameras, the network connectivity? What is that?
So for us, we actually build baskets. We're building a basket for the trial. The basket comprises, you know, a battery unit, an onboard computer, and four cameras. So the cameras are roughly half the size of your thumb. That's how big they are. So, you know, you're not really going to see it. On the top of that, we've also got, a visual aspect. So that's lighting. Now, for customers that, you know, are colorblind or, you know, potentially deaf or what have you, we need to be able to have, you know, vibration cues and sound and light as well, so that people are able to know, as you said, when an item has been added or removed, or, you know, for example, age-restricted items, you know, if someone needs to intervene, you know, to sell alcohol, for example, in the supermarket. So these baskets weigh roughly 1.5 kilos, which I believe is about 3 pounds, if my math is correct. And, you know, we stack about 4 or 5 high. And for the generation one, they will just be plugged into charged. However, our CTO his background's actually in wireless charging. The company that he worked for, Apple, recently acquired Power by Proxy.
Yep.
And so, you know, we will be moving forward with a wireless charging aspect, you know, that charges while they're stacked.
So in this case, I've got the basket. I take an item off the shelf. As I'm sticking it into the basket, it's the cameras then that recognize the shape, size, and it may or may not see the barcode, because the barcode could be facing, I could be covering it with my hand, but it recognizes the item, matches it to the barcode, and then knows to look up the price then at that point.
Correct. So So the whole customer, experience is, you know, you download an application and you set up your payment method. Now, when you walk in, one thing that we're doing here in New Zealand is removing plastic bags, you know, so we've given the ability to clip in your reusable bag, and you pair your phone to this basket through a QR code. You're now connected. As you're walking through and shopping, you're getting a rolling receipt in real time of everything that is in your basket, you know, which is great for people on a budget. You know, you're also able to see, you know, any of the loyalty aspects that are related to the retailer. So, you know, any discounts that you might be receiving. Once you've got a certain number of products as well in your basket, we're able to start recommending recipes, right? So we can say, look, if you add avocado and onion, for example, you can make guacamole.
Right.
So we're starting to use some of that to help enhance the customer's experience. Because we know where every product is, you know, we've got a map as well so that you can get in and out as quick as possible. But the great thing is that once you're finished shopping, you just wheel your basket straight out past the exit and your card is charged on exit. So there's no more queues, there's no checkouts. And, you know, look, you're right. You would have seen recently Amazon Go has done something very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we actually differentiate ourselves from someone like an Amazon Go is our ability to handle a lot more people in store at once.
Right.
You know, I believe from what I've read, they can do around 100 people, and that is purely because of their technology stack. You know, human or object tracking is still a subsector of computer vision that hasn't been solved for yet. And, you know, if a human eye can't differentiate between two people holding, you know, hands or standing very closely together, then, you know, a computer's also going to struggle.
Right.
Because we bring the point of sale to a trolley or to a basket or to a cart, and, you know, we've pretty much got a fixed homogenous background that we're looking at, we don't have the problems that are associated with tracking people or, you know, hand or gesture or any motion. You know, we've kind of fixed our environment to be looking at you know, and recognizing based on, you know, a fixed background.
Right. You were talking about the fact that now that you recognize what's in people's baskets, you could recommend a recipe, guacamole. But in reality, I could foresee, though, that the value of the data you capture about the customers becomes hugely valuable, right? Whether it's, you know, getting a product company to want you to recommend something, a competing product, yeah, or instant couponing, discounting, whatever.
So, I mean, you've hit the nail on the head. What has made, and, you know, coming back to Amazon, what has made them so successful is their ability to connect to the customer pre, during, and post a purchase, right?
Right, exactly.
They talk to you in their home with Alexa, you're then in store, and, you know, if you've forgotten something, you know, they're right there to be able to deliver it to you within a few hours. Now, the thing that blows me away is bricks and mortar retail has the ability to offer the exact same service. However, they only know who you are once you've left a supermarket, right?
Yep, exactly.
So what our system does is it introduces a customer as soon as they get in there, which means that, you know, we've now opened up this, I guess, plethora of ability to then start sending, you know, messages on, hey, you know, you buy this product, or we know that, you know, you bought milk 2 days ago. There's a good chance that you've probably finished it. You know, make sure you add milk to your list. We're giving retailers the ability to start connecting with their customers pre, during, and post, and offer, you know, that same Amazon experience.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, you know, it is about that personal connection, and how do you know more about the customer and how do you, you know, actually get to a different level of engagement with them. So in this case, you're building baskets. You're actually building hardware. Is that where you see it kind of always staying, or how fast can you push the AI to become more of an environmental? I mean, you pointed out the challenges, for instance, that Amazon Go has today because of the number of people.
Look, I think that using using both environmental camera technology and also fart technology is where you're going to start to get, you know, superior results. How fast can we push it? I would say that we've got the throttle down at the moment. You know, what we're, the results that we're seeing, in my opinion, are, you know, are world leading. I think, you know, give it a couple of years and the cost of hardware is decreasing so quickly,
yes.
You know, and algorithms and software is becoming a lot more powerful and accessible. I would say, you know, in the next couple of years, this will be mainstream technology.
Yep. So, well, we're going to take another quick commercial break, but I'm going to put you on the spot. When we come back, what I want you to do is share, given you've had a heck of a path to get to where you're at today, what advice do you wish you had back when you started, when you were the only one that actually resigned your position when you started down this path? So we take this commercial break. I want you to think about that and come back and share with the listeners, what advice do you wish you had back when you started down this path? I'm actually anxious to hear what advice you're going to give. So we come back. Will's going to share with us his wisdom and expertise based on his experience, and we'll be right back after this break.
Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this?
low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We're here talking with Will. And Will, you had a pretty interesting kind of background. You shared it in the early part of the show of all the trials and tribulations. And look, my listeners have heard me tell the fact I did 13 startups before I got my first IPO. So we all have our lessons learned. But what I'm really interested in is having you share, you know, if you could go back in a time machine and give yourself advice back when you started down this whole path from what you've learned up to this point, what would be some of that advice?
God, I would say the biggest piece of advice for me would be get market fit as quickly as possible. You know, my first business failed because I was building a solution for a problem that wasn't really there. You know, putting RFID tags on everything, just it didn't make sense. And, you know, it took me losing my job before I went and talked to, you know, a retailer to find out that they would never implement it, you know, for me to realize that I didn't have a business. I think that, you know, if you're able to get validation as early as possible, you know, not only does it help build up your confidence that you're heading down the right path, but it's also something that, you know, if you are in the business of raising capital, you know, it's a core, it's just a 101, a must have for investors to invest. You know, I think a lot of people start building solutions for, as I said, problems that aren't necessarily there. And, you know, I was certainly one of them. What I did differently this time was I went and talked to retailers before I started investing any more money or time. I found a price point that they were happy to, I guess, engage at. And when I say a price point, you know, the price of the solution. And, you know, you realize that for me, you know, the market's big enough, your customer, who is the retailer, is prepared to pay for the solution. It's now probably time to start doing some work and building this out for them and you know, to solve this problem.
So, yeah, I think the product market fit. So the question was, as you said, when you started the second time out, you actually went out and talked, was it 5 retailers, 3 retailers, 10 retailers?
I talked to probably three, but you know, coming back to your question regarding advice, I found, you know, about four mentors, two of which had backgrounds in retail. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was probably one of the most important things for me to do, was having those kind of guiding lights. Mm-hmm. The retailers that I was talking to were Australia-based, a couple in the US, and one in the UK. And, you know, it was a solution that they could all wrap their heads around. You know, when you look at retail in Australia, for example, where I was, you know, it's a duopoly. You know, they're doing $60 billion of revenue a year. Now, that's a market in itself, even if it is just for one retailer. You know, so I could just speak to one, and if he says, yeah, I'll buy it, you know, I've already got my market fit because the market's big enough.
Exactly. So what other advice would you give somebody? So you said product market fit. What would be another piece of advice you would give?
I would say, honestly, back yourself. I would say get in front of as many people as you can. I think that the reason that I managed to get capital was because I failed so many times. It forced me to continually refine my pitch and my product, and also to get myself to that next stage. I think a lot of people I've talked to get so caught up in, you know, the rejection piece. But, you know, I think until you've really gone down being rejected, you know, you're not going to be able to refine and build yourself as a person, as a business. You know, I would say the reason that we're here is because I'm so good at failing, you know, or being rejected.
Well, look, I've been there. I've been around that block a few times myself, right? Having 13 of them shot out from underneath me.
And, you know, I would say the final piece of advice is, you know, coming around to that capital aspect, a lot of people, again, that I've spoken to get so caught up in these valuations, you know, being dot-com rich, for example. One of the core mandates that I had raising money was the money had to come with something, right?
Right. And you want smart money, not just dollars.
Exactly. Right, exactly, because, you know, if you've got a co-founder or you don't have a co-founder, right, two heads, or they're always better than one.
Yep.
And having people, you know, generally the people that are associated, you know, with smart money, they have done this before, right?
Yep.
And their advice is invaluable. Being able to pick up a phone and call them and, you know, have that cash that also comes with an aspect of mentoring, right, is just so important. So my key takeaway would be, yes, even though you are trying to get capital, you should also be very picky about who you are bringing into your business.
Perfect. So, Will, if people want to track what you're up to and what the company's up to, what's the best place for them to follow?
So, look, we've got our website, www.imager.co. Again, you know, I'm writing on there quite regularly. We've got a LinkedIn and a Facebook, but if you do want to try it and you do, you know, want to interact with one of our smart carts, it'll be, you know, this year in Auckland, Ellerslie to be precise.
Well, then I was just there a year ago, and I'll definitely have to come back to Auckland and make sure I go have the experience. Everybody is off talking about the Amazon experience. Kroger's doing some experimentation in the space, but what I think you guys are doing is just, you guys are crushing it, keeping your head down, stay focused, and get those early wins. So, Will, I wish you guys the best of luck, and thank you for joining us here on Killer Innovations, and love to have you come back out and hear the update. For our listeners, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen. If you have a guest or somebody that you think should be on the show, drop me a note at phil@killerinnovations.com. And as always, we appreciate any feedback, comments, and thoughts. Go ahead and just drop us a note. We will have all the links over at the show notes over at killerinnovations.com, so you can check it out there. And with that, we're going to wrap up this week's show. Don't let the innovation antibodies get you down. Go out there and change the world. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.